Welcome to Nintendo Dads, episode 153, recorded on November 1st, 2017. On tonight's episode, we discuss the new Nintendo Switch sales projections and figures that were just released, along with Super Mario Odyssey, news about a Zelda 2DS, and downloads on the Switch amounting to way more than people thought they were. Zach, cue the music.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Dads Podcast. My name is Zach Erickson, and tonight is November 1st, 2017. Joining me tonight from deep in the basement of his dwelling, I don't know, Jesse Waldeck. What's going on, Jesse?
It sounds like truth to me. Things are going good.
That's good. Good is good. Speaking of good, joining us as well, from the land of the south, the man with the plan, the cliche introduction thing here, Marty SS. What's going on, Marty?
I am just glad that somebody believes I have a plan.
Well, hey, I don't know why I just put a piece of Halloween candy in my mouth, by the way. This is professional podcasting.
Here is why. Because there is a law of the universe that states that whenever an adult is in close proximity to their children's Halloween candy,
it must be
a piece gravitates toward their mouth.
This is Canadian chocolate candy.
Oh my God, I want some of that.
It's so good, that's, dude.
Just sounds amazing.
Coffee crisp is...
Hey, can you just send me some of that?
You know what? Oh, you know what I forgot to do? Is I forgot to go to Walmart today because it is like the holy grail of... getting cheap candy is the day after Halloween.
Yep. But I'm gonna guarantee you the chocolate's only like, you know, $20 a bag now instead of 40.
Yeah, exactly. So anyways, Justin is all in Paris this week, I guess, so he's not here with us. It's just the three, but we got definitely lots to talk about tonight, so I think we jump right into it.
Let's do it.
All right, and the news is brought to you by patreon.com/NintendoDads, where for as little as a dollar a month, you can join the amazing people who support this show and bring it to you every single week. So, Marty, we've got new patrons again this week.
Yes, we do. We have three new patrons this week. Daryl Naiman, Chris Becker, and I'm sorry, this person wins for the best name ever, Dr. Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
It can only be better if it was Dr. Mario.
Yeah, that Dr.
So, but guys, thanks seriously for helping us to make a better show.
Yeah,
absolutely. Create content and do some giveaways here soon.
Oh my gosh!
And,
yeah,
you know. So, I think this would be a good time to talk about this too. Speaking of giveaways,
yeah.
Next week is Extra Life. Actually, for a lot of people, it's this weekend. And for some people on our team, it's going to be this weekend as well. But for me and a few others, it is going to be within the next couple of weeks. Extra Life, if you're unfamiliar, is a charity that raises money for the Children's Miracle Network of Hospitals. And we're participating this year with a goal of $1,750, which we have already made a pretty good bit of progress toward raising. I think we're about 325 or 350 almost of the way there. And so we've got five people on our team. If you would like to be on our team, you can go to extra-life.org and search for Nintendo Dads. And we want you to join our team. And everybody who donates is going to get entered into a raffle for some cool giveaways. You can check out our video that Justin put up over on YouTube and on Twitter today about that, just talking about some of those things that are coming up. And be sure to watch our channel and for the stream next week. I'll be doing that on Thursday night next week, Thursday into Friday. And then we'll be sure to send out all our other team members' streams so you can see those as well.
Yeah. And by the way, I just wanted I want to just kind of point out that for all of you who are like, oh yeah, Extra Life, whatever. Getting real close here for a second. Let's have a talk, you and I. If everybody in our audience were to give $1, we would blow our goal out of the water. And so it's not necessarily how much you give. It's that even just the tiniest little amount is helping. And so I would say, you know, consider, like, we don't expect like this. Like, I think there's this idea that, like, oh, well, if I don't give like 10 or 20 or 50 bucks or 100 bucks or whatever, then I'm not contributing to this. Like, even this, the tiny amount, if we were to get everybody in the audience to give $1, then that would be, you know, and if you're worried about like, oh, well, I don't want people to see I only gave $1, then just give it anonymously. They have that option too. So
yeah,
like, it's awesome and it's for a great cause. And you know, let's go and show those mega dads, by the way, even if our number of contributors, like the number of people that actually donated is higher, but our overall value is lower, I would actually count that as a success. Whatever number is bigger, then we can at least say, yeah, but we got more people to donate. So I don't care. Right. So
that's, and I'm totally on board with that.
Yeah.
If it's just that more people have donated, we've still beat them.
Yep. So,
So
$1, just, exactly. You know, it's a can of Coke. Actually, I think a Coke, can of Coke.
It's not even a can of Coke. I mean, it's.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say
Canadian dollars. So maybe.
Yeah. A can of Coke's like $1.25 or something. I don't know. Up here anyway. Anyways. So that's all we're going to say about that. But seriously, every little bit helps. So do it for the children. Well, you think of the children.
Do it for the children, but help us beat Mega Dads.
Yeah. But for real, Mega Dads are going down. All right. So this week, let's get into the news. The news this week, of course, they had Nintendo released their financial results for the last quarter, which ended the quarter ending September 30th. Switch is doing pretty good, guys. It's, Nintendo is back, baby. I don't know where I'm going with that. Jesse, have you had a chance to kind of look over this? Like, what are the big takeaways here?
I didn't get a good deep dive, but some of the stats that I've heard from other people talking about it is, you know, I think that they sold something like 2.9 million Switches in the last quarter, which is July through September, putting the total worldwide sales in the first 6 months to 7.1 million Switches. So it's already over halfway what Wii U sold in lifetime.
Do we know what the Wii U was at this point of its life?
Like, I don't know about 6 months, but the Wii U sold around 5 million units its first year. So it had a good first year and then just tanked.
I'm going to see if I can find that number real quick, but that's 7.1 is nothing to sneeze at, man. That's pretty good.
Right. And in comparison, I think the Wii's first 6 months was actually a little bit more than the 7 million units. Of course, that you couldn't find that in the stores for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're actually now starting to see some Switches in stores now, at least in my area.
Mm-hmm. So here we go. So this is a quarter. So the Wii U sold or was announced on, what day was this? Released on November 18th. So that would say the first 6 months would put that at what? Zach does math. April, right? Ish?
Yeah, about the end of the fiscal year.
Yeah, so the overall sales by the end of, okay, that was 2012, so like midway through, at the end, oh my gosh, dude. At the end of quarter two, never mind. Wait, hang on, I'm getting there. Yeah, so by the end of June 2013, it had only sold 3.6 million worldwide.
Oh, wow.
That's insane. So they sold 3.6 million in the first quarter and then only 0.39 million. So like 390,000 in the second quarter, ending in March.
Plus the Switch has not yet had a holiday season.
Yeah.
So they'll expect a bump from that.
So double. So it's about double is what we're looking at. Just a little under double what the Wii U was at this point in its life.
At the last briefing, they had they were shooting for 10 million units sold by the end of the fiscal year. So about 13 months on market. And they've increased that now to 14 million units that they're hoping to sell in the first year.
Yeah.
Which is, will outsell Wii U in a year.
Yeah. Which,
yeah,
sweet. That's awesome.
It's, and that's pretty crazy to think about. Another thing that I wanted to bring up that I think is pretty crazy here is that if you look, Nintendo lists, and I'm looking through some of their the actual breakdown of it, there are 4 million seller games, which are five now, if you include the fact that Mario Odyssey has sold 2 million copies in 3 days. 4 million seller titles have been released for the Switch so far. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, Splatoon 2, Breath of the Wild, and ARMS. I think it's important to note that 3 of those 4 million seller titles were released in this fiscal quarter alone.
Oh, that's right, dude.
So The only Switch game, first party Switch game that was released that is not a million seller yet is Pokken Tournament.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean.
Well, and Fire Emblem, I guess, right? I guess.
Yeah, and Fire.
Published. Fire Emblem. Nintendo published.
No.
Nintendo published.
Fire Emblem came out this month.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, so that wouldn't be out here at all.
So it'll be next fiscal quarter. And I imagine it'll do pretty well, too. But you've got. Nintendo has released back to back to back three. And if, I mean, it's April. So March really was when Zelda went million seller that month. So back to back to back five now million seller games, almost back to back. And that is a huge thing for them coming out of the Wii U era where, you know, Mario Kart did pretty good, but I mean, think about this. Mario Kart sold 4 million copies on the Switch after being out on the Wii U.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I'm looking at this. So yeah, we can count through these. We had Breath of the Wild now has sold 4.7 million copies, which I just did the math. That is a 2/3 attach rate still.
Does that happen?
That's pretty good.
Like multiple. No, but like, are people buying multiple copies?
No.
To put on one Switch?
Oh, sorry. No, 2/3. So 2/3 of Switch owners have Breath of the Wild.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm looking at it the other way.
66%.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is 4.4, which 4.4 divided by 7.1 is 62%.
That's over half.
Yep, three.
Yeah, over half have it.
Splatoon 2 is at like 50% attach rate, which is pretty good. Right. And then ARMS, we're looking at about 20%.
Can I go ahead and just have everybody go ahead and tell me that I'm right, that Splatoon 2 cannibalized ARMS sales?
Oh, I totally think so. Yeah.
I feel like ARMS would have sold even more if they hadn't released Splatoon 2 a month later.
Yeah. By the way, I'm looking at these numbers too. It's so funny. So like, if you look at the division of like Japanese market versus overseas, which is Europe and North America. If you look at Mario Kart, 87 or what would it be here? Like 870,000 copies of Mario Kart versus 3.5 million overseas. If you look at Splatoon, almost half of all Splatoon sales came from Japan. So 1.6 million copies in Japan and 2.05 in the rest of the world put together. It's crazy.
And the crazy thing about that is looking at how unbalanced the rest of the games are in the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Look at Mario Kart. Mario Kart in Japan is, you know, less than a million. 870,000.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the rest of the world, 3.5 million, 3.6 million.
Yeah.
But Splatoon is running very close. I mean, that's a huge, huge, huge thing in Japan. And we knew that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. So anyway, I thought that was interesting. So I think I don't know. Is there anything else here? So like, it's doing really, really well is the point. They haven't actually, the one thing that I always look forward to when they do these is like their slideshow, like their PowerPoint thing that they always have that they always release, I always go through and read that. That hasn't been, the English translation hasn't been released yet. So I'm kind of looking forward to that still, but it's always fun. Any other sort of thoughts about this so far? Like, we're looking at this, basically what they've said too, like Reggie did a bunch of interviews this week and we aren't really going to go over them. But basically they've said, yeah, you know what? We're not talking about 2018 until after the holidays. So don't ask, basically.
You know, I like
Reggie's
this.
Being
like,
Reggie.
Well, here's one thing that I've kind of come to realize with this, how they're doing information now, is I like this laser focus with Nintendo because it's winning. It's doing well for them. We're focused on launching the Switch. We'll talk about games later. All right, now we've talked about games. Now we're focused on getting those games out. We'll talk about 2018 later. Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
You know, and here's the thing. For the most part, I will say not completely, because no company's perfect, but for the most part, has Nintendo failed to deliver so far with the Switch?
No, absolutely not.
No. And so let them do what they want to do. Let them be Nintendo and let them, you know, wait a little bit for whatever, you know, if you want to argue about the online service and us not knowing enough about that. Okay. I get it. But as far as the games coming out and what they're doing with the Switch, whatever they're doing is working. So let's keep doing it. And if that means we have to stay in the dark a little bit more. Okay.
I think the one thing with that though, is that they, I worry that, and worry isn't even the right word, but I wonder if they're leaving money on the table by not telling people about cool stuff that's coming. That, you know, for example, if there's like a really awesome Animal Crossing game that if they were announced it right now and they said, yeah, it's going to be here, you know, holiday 2018, and people are like, hey, as long as I know it's coming, that's all I need. Now I'll jump on board now and start enjoying the games. Then again, that probably is also going to help them pace demand a little bit as well. So,
right.
I don't even know if it's necessarily a problem, but it does always leave this sort of uncertainty of like, yeah, but is 2018 going to be any good? Like they could, like I saw a couple of things where they're saying, oh, we've got even more new IP coming and, you know, don't worry, we're going to continue. We have a lot of unannounced stuff, which, they're building trust in the in a consumer base right now that has been burned several times, and I think some of that trust has faded. And what they're doing now is they're saying, "Yeah, we've got more coming. Don't worry, don't worry." And then they're actually, I think the biggest thing is that they're actually fulfilling those promises that they're making. They're not just spouting nothing anymore.
They're winning their fan base back.
Yeah.
They're exactly. Bringing people home to Nintendo and that's a good thing. But one thing that I want to say is that the strategy that they've had with the Switch so far of we're focused on games, you know, yes. Would I love to be able to watch Netflix on my Switch, and we've talked about this ad nauseum, and tons of people have talked about it ad nauseum, but would I love to be able to do that? Yes. Hulu, and they've said it's coming eventually. I get that. Do I want to know the date? Sure. But here's the one thing about Nintendo that they did it with Breath of the Wild that we don't ever really see them do for the most part, and that is delays. Mm. You know, mm-hmm. when Breath of the Wild got delayed, that was a big deal. And when it got delayed again, that was a big deal. And when it got delayed again, it was a big deal. I mean, think about the development cycle of that game, how long that game took to put together. The reason that they don't release dates like we want them to is so that you don't have a situation with like PlayStation does with Insomniac and Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I'm so sick of hearing about Spider-Man and seeing yet another teaser trailer of maybe it's game footage, maybe it's not. Just make the dang game. Yeah. Set a date and put it out. I want to play it. I'm going to play it. It looks incredible. But this whole let's tease a game 5 or 6 years before it comes out.
That's something
I'm sick of that.
That's a pattern in Sega and Sony that I haven't liked in a while. And I was going to mention that. While I do, I do agree that I think Nintendo should give a little bit more time to tease and build hype for their games. You know, they don't want to cross the line and become another Sony where, you know, we hear about Final Fantasy 17 Remake 3 years ago, and we still don't know when that's coming out. Things like that.
I'm really looking forward to that, the retroactive remake, or the Final Fantasy 17. What? You said Final Fantasy 17 Remake, which I'm...
17? I meant 7.
Although at this point they might as well announce the Final Fantasy 17 Remake.
We'll probably see 16 before 7.
And the crazy thing about that is how long ago has that been announced? And we've heard nothing.
Yeah.
We've heard... And it's like, I think that they string us along like that to distract from the fact that they're not putting out as many games either. And then they point at Nintendo and go, oh, look, those guys over there, they're not putting out a lot of games.
Yeah,
man, Spider-Man's coming. We promise it's coming. Here, let's show you another trailer.
Yeah,
just tell me when I can play the dang game. I mean,
yeah,
really.
Yeah,
sure. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
So yeah, so I do. I guess I'm becoming more comfortable with this like it coming. You know, the next 6 months, the next year. I suspect that we won't hear about like. You know, we're going to get a January Direct like we always do. That's going to outline most of the year, right? Or at least it will outline until E3, right? They piece it out 6 months at a time, maybe with a couple of other things that are kind of thrown in there to keep people excited. And then that's it. I bet you we don't hear about Metroid Prime until E3 again, if we hear about it at E3 even. I don't even know if we will. And then
probably not.
Right?
Probably not until 2019.
The one big question for me is... usually there is a, like, at least the pattern has been that there's been a Pokemon Direct in the February, Q1, right? The first 3 months of the year. I will be interested to see if we see that. I guess I'm just going to make a prediction or a statement or whatever now. If we don't see anything about Pokemon Switch in the first 3 months of the year, it's not a 2018 game.
So, I agree.
So that's because the Pokemon company loves to drag out they place that game at the end of the year, and the entire year is like piecemealed. Here's a trailer. Here's a new Pokemon that's in the game. Right. And they just paste that all the way through the entire year. So
little teases to make you want to buy it.
Yeah. So that's the financial results. Very cool. The other thing we did mention is Super Mario Odyssey has sold 2 million units worldwide already. This does include bundles and digital, and that was in 3 days. So that includes the Switch bundles, that includes retail, that includes all of the digital downloads. But 2 million
game
copies.
Of the year. I'm sorry, I just slipped
wait,
out.
Wait, are we having this? Are we having this? Are we that?
It's not an argument.
It's gonna be. There's gonna be bloodshed,
it's
man.
It's not an argument.
Oh, there's gonna be bloodshed.
It's game of the year.
it's not.
No, hang on. I'll take it back. I'm sorry. It's game of the millennium.
This is gonna be an interesting game of the year prediction show, because we'll get into that. But I have some serious problems with this game, so we'll get into it. But we gotta finish the news first. I'm not saying it's not good. But that's crazy that it is so, like, 2 million already. Is anybody at the same time, I'm not surprised, right? Like, everybody who owns a Switch was looking forward to this game.
Here's the only reason I would be surprised about it, Zach, is that I think that any success on Nintendo's part right now, we're surprised at.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, we go, oh man, it really sold 2 million in 3 days. Great. You know, it's great that it did, but after living through the Wii U years, you kind of wonder how anything's going to launch.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I'm going to close this. It's definitely, I don't know, it's good, and I'm looking forward to seeing this continue to be awesome. I really am hoping for DLC with this game. I would totally be down for DLC. And I'll get more into that later, but yeah. Other stuff, I guess one other quick sort of let, I think maybe we'll just get into some quick fire stuff for the rest of these. I don't have a quick fire thing yet, but I could do,
it's like a box of chocolates. You never know what you are going to get.
All right. Quick fire news real quick. Zelda 2DS bundle was announced today. This green and with yellow buttons 2DS announced today for $79.99 US, which is a crazy good price. Is that what they're normally are?
Like, it's a steal of a deal.
Is that a Black Friday only?
It's the same price that the 2DS has been at for a year or so.
But you're getting a free game. You're getting the Ocarina of Time 3D, which is a launch title, but it's a hell of a launch title. It's really good.
It's a fantastic. It is the definitive version of that game.
Then at the $79.99 price, they've always had a pack in. Lately, it's been like Mario Kart 7, I think, for a while.
Or new Super Mario Brothers 2, I think, is one that they're also still advertising.
But the Mario Kart 7 bundle has been around forever.
Yeah.
Right. So the fact that they're packing in Ocarina of Time is pretty surprising.
Yeah, that's pretty good. So I think with that too, like they're, and I think that I even saw a quote this week from Reggie or something, like actually what they really are doing is they are targeting like never owners for the 3DS. Like, I think that especially at that $80 price range, man, like that's an impulse buy, right? Like, oh, there's a few games though that I've actually really wanted to play. That'd be fun. $80, boom, you got yourself a 3DS, right? Like, that's awesome. So that's pretty cool. As well, there is a, Marty, you have opinions about this, but there is a, where I'm going to find this. Here's the press release. So they say, The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild Explorer Edition, a bundle that includes the critically acclaimed and award-winning Nintendo Switch game, a 100-page explorer's guide, and a two-sided map at a suggested retail price of $60. So it's a regular priced version of this game, and it is now $60.
Or, I think the map is probably the same map that came with the special editions.
It doesn't look, I'm looking at the press release and I'm looking at this map. It does not look like the same map because it has icons on it. Like, it has little skulls and things. Like, I'm not sure what I'm looking at here, but it's got little things with like different shrines and I don't know. It's weird.
So it's a help map.
Maybe
like it's an actual help map instead of just a nice little physical touch.
Yeah. And it has this explorer's guide, which looks like a regular sized sort of book. I don't know, Marty, you had opinions about this. What are your,
I'm still trying to find a reason why this bundle even exists. Like, I don't get it. If it's not going to have the DLC included, then why split your take on a SKU and have the Explorer Edition that really the only thing that's different about it is a 100-page guide and map?
Well, it's the same.
I mean, they didn't even change the art on the box.
Right. It's the same price, though, as the thing. I think they're just looking for a value add for it. Like, they're trying to incentivize new Switch owners.
But take this, sell it for $79.99 with the DLC, and it'll go like hotcakes. Mm. Because it's obvious with the pricing that Nintendo is basically saying, here, have a free map and guide. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
So if the DLC is $20, sell it for $79, put it all on the cartridge so you don't have to download it.
Mm-hmm.
And then give it with the free guide and it makes it a much more appealing package. I guess what I'm saying is you also increase the chances that some people may double dip. Hmm. They've already bought Zelda. They'll buy the Master Edition or whatever you call it, the Explorer. See, calling it the Explorer Edition, as soon as I heard that, I thought, oh, that it's coming out this day and it's going to have all the DLC on it. So you have more to explore.
Mm-hmm.
No. I guess I can kind of get that. Like, they're trying to pump it up for Christmas or anything, but if they want to pump it up for Christmas, make it a bundle.
You know what though? I'm looking at this too. I think that these may be, I think these might be Black Friday only. This may be a Black Friday only deal. So like for people who, and I mean, don't quote me on that, but like this, the press release is, titled Nintendo Turns Black Friday into Legendary Friday, which Nintendo, you can't do that. It's Black Friday. But go sit down.
Yeah, I think all of these are like limited editions, because if they were going to keep on pushing these things out, then they probably would also follow it up with a price drop of like the digital version, which they made no mention of.
I think the
Nintendo
thing that's curious
is known for putting out special editions on Black Friday, though. Like,
that's true.
A few years ago, I got the DS Lite. It was the Zelda edition, the golden one with the Triforce on the cover. It was a Black Friday only.
Well, and you and I both got the new 3DSs with the cover plates that came out, and those were Black Friday only, right? Like those were a sweet deal. And so,
and the cool thing is, at least they're putting out a system for Black Friday this year that includes a game.
Yeah.
So if you've got a parent who's wanting to get something for their kids, although it is the doorstop edition of the 2DS, if it had been like a green new 2DS XL with Zelda included, that's even more tempting. But I see what they're trying to do. These are actually some of the more affordable Nintendo Black Friday things, and so that have ever come out.
And so I think it's smart, because Black Friday, people are. The thing about Black Friday is you want to be able to put something out on the shelves. It's like, yo, this is a steal, right? And so like for both of the Black Friday things you'll notice are Zelda themed, right? Because Breath of the Wild's huge. So it's like you can either buy the Switch game that is regular price, but it comes with this extra free stuff that is probably dirt cheap to produce and whatever. Let's ship out a bunch more of those copies. And also here is the cheapest 3DS that we can possibly give you. With the 3D remaster version of the, you know, until Breath of the Wild, the one of the best games of all time, right? Like it's a good deal. So it's interesting. The press release also says like, oh, well, by the way, here's all of these other things. And the reason I say that I think that this, even the Zelda 2DS might be a Black Friday only thing, is because in the press release, they say, yeah, by the way, there is also that white and red 2DS with Mario, new Super Mario Brothers 2. They talk about the new white and orange 2DS XL that Marty's excited for.
I'm accepting, those for Christmas if anybody wants to hit a brother up.
The Pokeball new 2DS XL system, stuff like that. So that's... I don't know. It's kind of nice to see Nintendo hitting up the Black Friday this year in a way that actually is like, oh, it actually makes sense. It's a good thing that you can put on the end cap. They can put a bunch of them in there, put them in that bin that just gets raided at the beginning of when the store opens, and then you're done. Right. So anyway, so that's the Black Friday stuff. Quick thing. LA Noire, the retail version of this game requires a 14 gigabyte download. No, I'm not doing that. No, and I think it's like 29 gigs
about that. You are no,
I'm just not doing it. Well, the thing is, like, I'm a digital person anyways for the most part, but this is getting kind of crazy. Like this whole, you know, like I think even a 200 gig card, if you have that, that's still going to be kind of crazy, right? Like it's getting a little bit crazy right now with the size of some of these games, and yet, yeah, I don't know. So that's crazy.
Well, and remember, we saw a lot of this coming too, with the rumors that because of the weird verbiage on the Lego City Undercover for Switch box art.
Yeah.
Where, you know, we speculated, oh, that, you know, the third parties are going to put, you know, a less of a game on a cart to save money and require download. And then it turned out to be, no, that's not happening here. But it's starting to happen.
Yeah, it's nuts. And I can see that, like, the Switch cartridges, you know, they're probably really expensive if you get into the big storage ones, right? They're probably way more to produce, and therefore they opt to do that download thing. But it's just not very awesome. So I don't know.
I think that what people are upset about this is that they're not only is Rockstar requiring a 14 gigabyte download, they're also charging what people have come to call the Switch tax, which is the game is $10 more expensive on the Switch than it is everywhere else. And several games are like that are coming out, which doesn't make a lot of sense. Rime is one of them. There's some others that are doing that. I think Rime actually backed off and went to same pricing everywhere.
And do they do that with just the physical copy, or is it digital as well?
Yeah, just the physical. Well, no, it's the digital copy as well.
Okay.
Which makes no sense. But LA Noir is not the only one doing this. WWE 2K18 reported earlier today that it's going to need, I believe, a 24 gigabyte download.
Jeez, what the
crap, plus man. The cartridge. So here's the thing. You're kind of starting to see something here. Are people's SD cards going to start running out of room quickly?
And what's the biggest SD card you can get right now?
256?
Somebody in our Discord.
Oh, yeah. Someone's got a 400.
400 gigabyte SD card.
And it will support up to a 2 terabyte, right? That's what they've said. Yeah. Those don't exist yet, but.
They don't exist.
Because they don't necessarily code for the specific sizes, but they record to the SDXC standard, which the standard is slotted for up to 2 terabytes.
Okay.
Just like going from, the SD by itself goes up to 2, and then it's called something else going up to
XC, I think.
16, and then above 16 is called something else, what we're dealing with now. So yeah. Above 2 terabytes, it'll be something else, which again doesn't yet exist.
Right. Okay. So that's crazy. I don't know.
Can I ask this, is this not time for Nintendo to step in and be like, all right, guys, here's how we compress games?
Yeah. I don't know how much, that's a good question. I don't know. Well, and the thing is that some of the, I don't know how they're doing it, but it's crazy.
I understand. I as a developer, I can see both ways. One, you'd think Nintendo would want to help the third parties by saying, here's how you get it down. But on the other hand, that's literally giving away trade secrets.
Yeah, that's kind of what I figured.
Which is what you don't want to do in a big industry.
Yeah, for sure. So, that's, I don't know, that's kind of crazy. I don't really know why what the deal is with that, but I'm not a fan. Last little quickfire stuff. Monopoly releases on Switch with 10-minute load times just to start the game. Also, that game is $40 to play Monopoly. Guess how much a Monopoly is if you just go buy the board game? Less than
$5.99 on Black Friday.
Oh my gosh, it's crazy.
I did buy the Monopoly on Switch. I haven't launched it yet, so I'll probably talk about it next week more. If I get a chance to play it.
But if you're a listener and you are running into this problem. They did, Kotaku published an article earlier, and God, I can't believe that I'm talking about Kotaku, but this actually is helpful. If you manually restart your Switch, then you can lower those load times from anywhere between 5 to 10 minutes to 5 to 10 seconds. There's something wrong in how the game downloads, and the game has to be physical. The system has to be physically restarted. For you to be able to enjoy Monopoly.
That's amazing.
And the way it's intended.
That's awesome. That's just great. And then finally, EA will not commit to the Switch, nor will Capcom, despite sales reports. Good job, Capcom and EA. You guys are great. You do you. So dumb. EA, I'm actually a little bit less surprised because EA primarily is. They're known for one of the things that they value more than just about anything is they really push the visual side, right? They really push the graphical fidelity. Performance is really important to them. And my suspicion is that because that's so valuable to them and it's such a core value, I wouldn't be surprised if the engine that they use for a lot of their games and how they sort of program the back end of everything of how it's run. Just requires more than the Switch can give, and it would require a lot more resources to pump into it. You know what I mean? Whereas if they're really trying to be efficient and cost effective, then this just doesn't make sense to them.
Right.
And they're like, you know what, this is good enough for us. EA, I'm not really surprised. Capcom, I don't know, I don't know what they're thinking.
Capcom released this very bullcrap statement this week that basically said, we didn't really have a lot of time to work on Switch games like everybody else. Yeah, you did.
You had as much time as everybody else did.
They put out a Street Fighter 4 or 5 game. I guess it was 5. Relatively close after launch. So they've had a dev kit for a while.
Like, I just don't understand. Like, they're sitting over there on stuff like the Mega Man Legacy Collection, Disney Afternoon Collection, which is like, you've got to think.
What are they doing?
That's just like a dump on a cartridge and sell it thing. You don't have time.
Yeah. That's
like when my kids are asking me to do something I don't really want to do, and I'm like, I don't have time. I don't have time. Capcom's like the lazy dad. You know, kick back in his recliner. I'll get to it in a minute. And you're just scrolling on your phone. Yep. That's
wow. That's Capcom. That was a good share.
Hey, let's stop right here though. Breaking news.
Yes.
Okay. My Nintendo has updated with the first physical rewards.
Whoa.
What? For members in Japan.
Oh, what is it?
It is a set of Breath of the Wild posters. The set is 300 platinum points, and you can get them right now if you have a Japanese My Nintendo account.
Oh, my gosh.
They are the first one is a scene from the cover of the game of Link standing, you know, with the sun behind him. You know, it's shining toward him. The second one is the shot from the DLC trailer where Link is facing down the Tiger Lionel.
Yeah.
And then it says, you know, it's almost like an advertisement. It's like, you know, some has the logo at the top. And it says expansion pass. And then the third one is a picture of Zelda with all of the champions.
Cool. Oh, so that's the DLC too.
It says expansion pass. This may be a hint at DLC drop date. Okay. I'm just going to throw that out here because these will be live on the site until November 13th. And it says shipping starts at the start of December. So here's my prediction on this. There will be these will be available in America within the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. Oh, dude, like, these are cool.
Yeah, they look really awesome. I would love to have those in my office.
Okay. Yeah, they totally look like they look like what you put in a store window.
Yeah, but I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Okay, so, dang it, I don't have enough points. I do have a Japanese account, but I don't have enough points
for that. You have to pay shipping, too, so that's the only thing. But, you know, for 300 platinum points, that's actually not that expensive.
That's pretty good. I'd do that for 300 points.
Yeah, so...
Like compare the Legend of Zelda Picross was 1,000.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So here's the deal. I think that's showing that's coming.
Yeah.
You know, I know that, you know, the joke is, yeah, there's still no physical rewards. There's still no physical rewards. And my Nintendo did just update today here in the North America with a heavy, heavy, heavy focus on Sonic. So maybe we aren't getting these.
Yeah. I don't know. I would welcome them. I actually wouldn't be surprised if we got different posters, though. Like, those seem like the kinds of things that Nintendo of Japan could have very easily made themselves, and then they would, you know, ship them from Nintendo of America. It would be up to them to do something similar, because they're like, even the catalog of games that is available on each one is so different that I think, or on each service, I think it's possible that they'd be a lot different. So I don't know. Okay. So let's jump in. I guess the last little piece here, I'm not too sure, but yeah, no, that's it. All right, let's get into what we've been playing, shall we?
Yep.
All right, and of course we have been playing a whole lot of Stardew Valley. No, just kidding. Although I really did play, I stayed up for like four. I played like a good 4 hour span of Stardew Valley a couple of nights ago. And I've got a sweet field day one. And I don't know if I'm only going to spend like 2 seconds on this, but day one of summer came and I had like 40,000 gold saved up and I got like the sweetest blueberry patch you've ever seen. And it's going to just feed me money every few days for the whole summer. It's going to be awesome. So I'm looking forward to that. So
I'm a terrible farmer. I'm still in the spring.
In the first year?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I'm on year two now. So I'm like, I'm rolling in the Benjamin.
Are you married yet?
No. Oh no. I'm like that recluse farmer who maybe once a week comes into town when he needs to buy more seeds, and the rest I'm like planting stuff, and then I'll go to the mine. And I have no relationship with anyone in town. You're the guy that
everybody whispers about.
There's that crazy farmer guy coming into town
at night.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'd be like coming to the tavern like once every 2 weeks maybe. So
all he cares about is seeds.
Yeah. Anyways, so for real though, what we're talking about, what we've been playing, Super Mario Odyssey. Just for as far as spoiler warning goes, we are going to talk up until till New Donk City. Is that what we said?
Yeah.
Well, like, are we going to go like to the end of that, to the end of Metro Kingdom?
Yeah, we can do that.
All right. So spoiler warning, if you haven't hit Metro Kingdom yet, if you haven't beaten it, then that's where we're going to talk to, is the end of Metro Kingdom. So having said that, I finished it. Marty, you said you finished it. What was your time? Like, how long did that take you?
I started playing it Thursday night I'd already had it preloaded. So it, you know, did its little update and let me play. And I think that I spent probably 2 hours or more with it that night. And then Friday, I spent, you know, 3 or 4 more hours with it as much as I could. Saturday, I spent about the same amount of time. Of course, had family stuff going on and other things. And then Sunday, I spent another 3 hours with it. So I would say somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 to 12 hours.
Yeah, that sounds about.
And I wasn't like gunning for the end. But at first, like, I was just enjoying myself in the kingdoms and getting things. But as I saw people in my social media circles saying, beat Mario Odyssey or just completed the story mode of Mario, that definitely accelerated my pace.
Yeah, I know Monday morning.
I knew we would talk about it a little bit.
And like Monday morning rolls around and it's like, holy cow, I'm glad I finished it by Monday morning, because YouTube, I swear I saw about 10 thumbnails that were spoilers on YouTube of just like, oh, this particular kingdom or this costume or this particular person in postgame. You know, like, I was just like, oh, geez, glad I freaking didn't, you know, glad that wasn't a spoiler for me, because that would have been annoying. So yeah, okay. So Marty, you made a comment earlier, best game of the millennium.
Oh yeah.
Tell me where's that? What do you mean by that?
Okay. So, full disclosure, if you, unless you heard this a few, weeks ago on Nintendo Dad's, previous episode, I was not completely sold on this game, until I played it. And the reason for that was I was worried about some of the settings and about how that would kind of clash with Mario and what he's supposed to be, you know, and that the whole it's super realistic kind of looking thing. And then you've got Mario, right? But all of that melted away in about 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Or less. I would probably say it's probably less. This. I will start by saying this. The reason that I'm so excited about this game and the reason I love this game so much is that previously when I'm comparing Mario games, Mario 3 has always been the standard, right? Mario 3 is you ask me any other time, Mario 3 is the best Super Mario game that's ever been made. There's none better. It's perfect. It's balanced. It's wonderful. It plays great. Takes Mario in a completely awesome direction that, you know, I didn't know was possible at the time, with the maps and the different worlds and the kingdoms and blah, 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 blah. It's just great, right? This dethroned Mario 3.
Wow.
I am confident. I am fully confident in saying, and if you don't agree, fight me, that this is the greatest Mario game that has ever been made. It's because it manages to do so much so well and includes so many callbacks to this series that I love so much, and not do it in some just hackneyed, shoved in, you know, way. They do it in a way that makes sense. They do it in a way that is loving, as a loving homage to what has come before. But you can definitely get a sense as you play this game that Mario is in good hands where we're going.
Hmm.
And I think that that is, and I'm talking about, you know, specifically about the development team and, you know, the fact that eventually there will be new people working on Mario that aren't Miyamoto.
Mm-hmm.
That's the inevitability. The fact that Nintendo can continue to take this series that I love and innovate it and make it compelling and make me like create games that make me say, I don't want to get up out of this chair until I'm done. That's where Mario Odyssey is for me. Every bit of it. I'm playing it. I'm smiling. I'm laughing. I'm loving it. None of it felt like a chore. It still doesn't. There's not been one time in this game where I've got went and said, oh my gosh, I have to do this again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I even found myself doing that in Breath of the Wild, as incredible as that game was. And I had serious reservations about it as well, but it surpassed them. But somebody in the Discord chat said this, and I'll let you talk about it a little bit. They said, did we ever think that we would be living in a time when Nintendo would just be making game after game after game like this, where they are just knocking it out of the park? Breath of the Wild, gone. Splatoon 2, gone. ARMS, gone. Mario, gone. You know, it's like, these are not typical games. These are legacy games. These are games that people are going to talk about for years to come, and they're in the first year of the Switch. And so I think that's what makes this game important, and the fact that it's just super fun. And Jack, did you get the sense in playing it? And Jesse, you too, do you guys get the sense in playing it of, oh, just one more moon. Oh, just one more moon. You know, I'll stop in just a minute. I'll stop in just a minute, but I'm going to try to find one more moon.
Jesse, you go ahead first.
I agree. And the first, you know, level of significance, Sand Kingdom, I think it is. You know, the map screen says, I think there's 64 or so, somewhere in the low 60s moons. I didn't leave until I had like 55 moons. So I took advantage of the amiibo hunt, telling you where moons are, and, you know, paying the toad 50 coins, and the parrot that, you know, gives you some they'll tell you the name of the moon, but won't tell you where it is. So I really abuse the system in that for that stage, and I haven't done that for any of the others yet. I do plan on going back when I finish the story. I haven't finished the story yet, but I think I'm really close to the end. To be able to try to get as many moons as I can, though some of those moons I hear are going to be really rough, like the mini game ones. What I've noticed is like almost every single like little hidden room or the 2D areas almost always have two moons involved. The one mm-hmm. that's kind of obvious and one a little more hidden. And like, so the same with those mini games, like you'll get one like, since we're talking up the new Dunk City, the jump rope one.
Yeah.
You'll get a moon at 30 and you'll get another one at 100. I'm like, mm-hmm. I barely got the 30. I don't know how the hell I'm going to get 100.
And then you look at the
some guy's got like 22,000 leaderboard. Like, what?
I feel like somebody literally. Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy talk. Yeah. See, I'm not going to lie here, and I'm sure that this is an unpopular opinion. And I said this on Twitter. I said, I feel like any other year, I would be really excited about this game. I would be like blown away by it, but in a year where we're still going back to Breath of the Wild, I feel like like this game is, you know, like it just does not, like I don't know what I was expecting, but like, see, I think part of it is that some of these kingdoms, and like some of them are great, right? Like New Donk City is amazing, but New Donk City, yes, there's a lot to do there and it's wonderful, but then you've got things like the Cap Kingdom, right? Where yes, that's the first kingdom and that's fine. But I think part of what I was expecting was, then you can go back and you can unlock all of this other stuff. My thought was, well, this is a really small kingdom, but that's fine because I'm coming back and that must be unlocking some new areas or something. Oh no, it's still like three little islands and that's it. And somewhere in this little area, there's a ton of moons that you're going to find and whatever. But like wandering around the Cap Kingdom, looking for moons and throwing my hat at every little thing is not satisfying to me. You know what I mean? Like going back to the kingdoms afterwards, I'm like, well, there's this tiny little thing over here. Is it fun to just like, I don't know, like to cut, it's like a needle in a haystack sort of situation where it's like, it's not fun to look for a needle in a haystack. It's just annoying that I dropped this needle in a haystack. I don't know. Maybe I totally am willing to admit that this might be a preference thing, but I feel like the idea that, oh, well, there's 800 and something moons that you can get is not like, that's not fulfilling for me personally to know it, like in the same way that like the Korok seeds, there's 900. I don't want to go find 900 Korok seeds. That's crazy. And a lot of the moons are very like about as much effort to go into it as finding a Korok seed, right? Where it's like, oh, hey, did you notice you can go around the corner and oh, look, there's a moon right there, right? Like I don't know. That sounds like I'm dismissing the entire game, and I'm totally not. There's a ton in this game that is super fun. There were moments in it that I was just smiling. I guess more than anything, what it really left me with was after I had gone through the game, I'd gotten a bunch of moons, and I kind of looked at like, okay, well, how many more moons do I need to get now before, you know, before I can continue progressing? And I was like, yeah, but do I really want to do that? Like, is that going to be a fulfilling journey to just go and like wander around these levels, which are beautiful, and not have any, like wander around a corner and see a little moon or whatever? I don't know. It was just like, other than the main story beats, a lot of this game is busy work. So I don't know. Like, what are your thoughts on that? Like, I know I'm speaking heresy here, but Mario, I want to hear your response to that.
I tweeted this out on Saturday that, or maybe it was Friday, that I think comparing, like when we talk about Game of the Year and we talk about Mario Odyssey and Zelda, like comparing them is like comparing apples and oranges. They're totally different games. Both of them are definite contenders for Game of the Year, but like just, you know, even in comparing Korok seeds to moons, Korok seeds aren't integral to the story of the game. You know, they're not like the piece that moves the story forward. They're just a bonus. You want to carry more crap, you know, moons are a little bit more than that. And yeah, there are some of them that are easy, but there's also some of them that are super difficult. I know you've run into that. What the one complaint that I would have, I think, is just how varied that is. Mm-hmm. I guess, you know, it's like one of them's like, oh, it's right over there, and then the other one is like, oh my gosh, why can I not find this? It's right here, you know. Mm-hmm. But I've seen people complaining that the game is too easy, and I would say in some places it probably is, but in some places it's not. Like I had trouble in the end game. I like the last few kingdoms. There were some places I had trouble with that I had to attempt multiple times.
There was one in particular. We won't talk about which kingdom it was, but holy cow! I kid you not. There was a platforming area where if you screw up, you fall in the lava. And I kid you not, I probably spent an hour there. I don't know if you.
Yep.
Know. You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish there was more of that leading up
totally
to the end.
It's satisfying, though, when you finally
Totally. And I actually found out, like, oh, wait, if I go around a different way, it's actually way easier. And so.
Right. And I'm debating on whether what I'm about to say is spoilers or not, because I know people are like rabid about spoilers about this game. Now I'm just going to say it.
Okay.
There's a whole set of moons that you can't find until you finish the game.
Yes.
Those moons, the game gives you a little bit of help with.
I think it gives you quite a bit of
help. Those big metal boxes, or is that something else? Because I have no idea what they're for.
Yes, it has to do with the big metal boxes.
That's what I
must say.
Okay, that's all I wanted to know.
Yeah, you cannot. So if you're banging your head against the wall about the metal boxes, you can't do anything with them until you finish the story. Move on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I figured out as far as I did that. I figured that was the case.
But here's the thing. I think those are a benefit to the game, because those take you to places in kingdoms that maybe you haven't spent a lot of time with. And they also help you see things from different angles that help you find moons that they don't tell you about. And Bonneton is one of those, the Cap Kingdom is one of those. Like, finding all the box moons really helped in helping me see where some of the others were.
Mm.
And so if you look at it like that, then maybe it takes a little bit of that disappointment out. Go ahead.
I think I'm sitting here actually with my Switch set up right here. I'm playing it, and I realized why, you know, when you think about the difference between Mario and Zelda for me, and why I'm thinking Zelda's better. Like, for me, it's no question. I realized as I'm doing this what the difference is, and it's that in Zelda, I feel like I can jump into that game and I don't need an objective. I just run around and beat stuff up and slide down mountains and whatever. And it's not just about exploration. It's about what you're able to do in that world, and just kind of screw around and have fun. Whereas with Mario, if you don't have a specific objective that you're doing in that game, if you're not looking for a specific moon, or if you're not trying to beat a specific challenge, then you're literally just jumping and hopping around, and there's not a whole lot else to do. Like, the game there's not that dynamic gameplay that just sort of like emerges on its own, right? That, or maybe emergent gameplay, is that what it's called? Anyways, but you know what I mean? Whereas, like, it is such a crafted experience, which is beautiful, and going through that is beautiful. But when you go back to it, it's like, okay, well, now you are literally just continuing to seek out those things in the world, so that then I can enjoy myself again. And if you don't enjoy seeking through that and finding, like, if you really enjoyed looking for the Korok seeds in Breath of the Wild, you're going to freaking love Mario, because it's like that kind of thing, but dialed up to 11. And some of the things that you have to do in that game in Mario to find all of those moons is awesome. But if searching for those moons specifically doesn't seem that exciting to you, if not going and getting every last one of them, then it's not, there's like, that is the whole game, is go find those moons and do the things that get you the moons, which is fine. And that's great. Like, it executes on that amazingly well. But if you feel like you're going to get bored of that, which I was like, okay, well, that's cool. Like, yeah, that's great that I can get moons, and like, it's fun to do that. And it's, you know, get all the collectibles, get all the purple coins so that you can get all of the outfits and the souvenirs and stuff. But if that's not, I guess for me, I'm just like, okay, that's great. It's awesome. But what else? And I feel like maybe it's taken some of the DNA from the more linear games, and maybe those linear games like Galaxy and 3D World and stuff like that, they're a little bit more linear and a little bit more finely, like, they're like, yeah, no, this is what you're doing. This game kind of feels like a fusion between those two, where it's like a very specific challenge, but also let's also have it be open world. But the thing is that if you're not specifically going to those challenges that to get the moons, then you kind of just stand around in the world being like, okay, well, now what do I do? Like, I guess I could fly in with a bullet bill for a while, but that gets old fast because there's nothing to do as a bullet bill if you're not specifically doing the things that they have designed for you to do, right? Like, there's the mechanics of the game do not expand beyond the things that they are intended to do. There's no moments of surprise that also, like, a lot of things, it's like, yes, you go around the corner and there's a moon there and, ooh, that's awesome. But you also know somebody put that there and that happened, like, they manipulated me into getting to this point. They knew I was going to end up here and that's why it's here. Whereas if you go around the corner and some random things happens in Breath of the Wild, you truly have a unique experience. So yeah, anyways, that's sort of like, it sounds like I'm crapping all over this game, but I don't know.
No, I get it. I get, like, what you're saying is that with this game, though it may feel open world in that these worlds are in some cases gigantic and hold tons of secrets, it's not truly open world, and there's not really a sense of freedom like you get from Zelda.
Mm-hmm.
And Zelda or Breath of the Wild made you the whole game was about you have the freedom to go wherever you want, whenever you want, as long as you can get there. If you see it, you can get there. You know, if you can survive to that point, then you can get there. Whereas Mario, it's like, see that star up there? Go up there and get it. Okay, you're done.
And not only that, but not only go and get it, but yeah, like with some exception, there are some exceptions where there's multiple ways to get there. But in reality, there's a very specific way that you're going to get there. And it's going to be a huge fluke if you don't get there exactly the way that they intended you to get there.
I can get that. Like,
whereas with Breath of the Wild, it was like you just randomly be running around in the mountains and then all of a sudden, oh, hey, geez, there's this weird thing that, you know, that's here. And turns out that this thing that everybody kind of discovered a different way, like what was it, like the Lord of the Mountain or whatever, right? Whatever the weird green deer was.
Oh, yeah.
The alien eyes, right? That, like, everybody kind of like ran into that like a different way, just kind of exploring and running around doing whatever. But everybody's story on like how, kind of what happened with that was different. And you're just experiencing the world itself. Like this, the Sand Kingdom, I think, is interesting too, because it's big, but so many areas of it are just kind of empty, right? But not in a way that it feels like you're discovering something. It's just like, oh, they just want me to run a really long ways to get there, or I don't know. You initially got to this area because you rode all of these platforms on top all the way across, and they never actually put anything underneath you while you're on your way to get there. So I don't know. Tell me I'm wrong. Or ride the Jaxi I'm seeing in the chat, right? Like, you could ride that. But like, the only reason it's that big is because wouldn't it be cool if you rode a little Sphinx thing and then didn't? And then, like, but if you don't do that, then you're just running across this empty desert. So I don't know. I will say though that I really, really the art direction in this game, the storyline, the animation, like all of the stuff with, it's got the best boss fight in any Mario fight ever, like the end battle. We're not going to talk about it because spoilers, but probably some of my best moments and genuinely surprising, where I was like, I don't know why I didn't think that was going to happen, but it was amazing. And of course that's how it happened, right? Like,
yeah, I've heard multiple people say similar things, so I can't wait to try to finish this thing.
Yeah.
Hopefully in the next day or two.
Yeah. It's probably some of my favorite. It's potentially my favorite moment in like Mario history. It's really good. So, yeah. So I don't know. What are your, like, Marty, Jesse, like, what are your thoughts?
Let Jesse talk about it. I think I've gushed enough about it and you've not gushed enough about it. So,
I've enjoyed my gameplay so far. I don't think it's, at this point, I don't think it's game of the year material for me. I think Zelda will still have a beat, but you know, the story's still out. We'll see how this thing ends. One thing that apparently I just found out is when I, in the Switch, when I go to my profile, and it gives me that list of games of what I've played and tells me the hours I've played if it's been long enough. They limit them at 20. And so Odyssey is not showing up in that list. So I don't know how many hours I've played the game so far.
It's not showing up in your list?
No, because I've got 20 other games. So it's not coming up at the top and pushing off anything else. It's the game that's being pushed. Weird. I wish it was a way to say,
I think you can do that. You just got to go into the settings and stuff. But
yeah, I haven't found it yet. But I think so far, I mentioned on Twitter, and someone tried to call me out saying it was spoilery. But I said, well, they showed this in promotional material, whether you saw it or not. I did, so that's why I didn't think it was spoiler material, so I posted it. But I liked all the 2D levels, you know, within the 3D environments. But the one in New Donk City, I think that gave me such happiness, just playing through it all.
At the end,
it was multiple mini stages, all to make this one giant 2D environment, and I was entertained. Like, I definitely want to replay that section of the game again when I'm on a big screen, because at the time I did it in handheld. I played most of the game in handheld.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the end of that zone. Like, again, if you haven't beaten New Donk City, then you know what are you doing. But that would be something that's just awesome. It was a great moment. I played that. I was saying before the show, I played that moment in handheld. Don't do that. If you notice that you're getting to the end of that, don't do what Zach did. Just put it on the dock mode. Crank up the TV. Did you play it in handheld?
Yeah, I played it in handheld.
Yeah. See, I did that and I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. But then like I hear people who are like played it on the big screen and like, oh man, I totally like cried. It was so beautiful and it was so nostalgic and whatever. And I was just like, yeah.
As I was playing it, I was showing my son and hey, look at this, and he's like, okay. Because, of course, he doesn't have the nostalgia for Donkey Kong as I do.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, I'm glad that I was on the TV when that happened. So I've played the majority of Odyssey in docked mode. And I would say that definitely that's one of the things that I've enjoyed the most about it. Just getting to experience that. I've played it with the separated Joy-Cons for the most part.
Too. Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that for a minute. So the motion controls. How do you guys feel about motion controls?
Not as intrusive as I thought they would be. But I did not. I never used the flick motion to throw Cappy. It was always the Y button. Once I found out I could do that.
Did you do the motion controls with the spinny thing?
Yeah, they're actually a lot easier than trying to do it on the Pro Controller.
Yeah, I did find out, and I learned it. I watched Arlo's video, initial impressions of this game. I don't know if you've seen that. He was like not a fan of motion controls in this game, and some of them are very like the spinny, the hat spin move. Is really, really useful during boss battles, right?
Like, and can be hard to pull off, you know, in tight spots.
Yeah.
So one thing with the freeform Joy-Cons, you can just do it standing, but
you can do it without. You can do it without if you learn. If you do the thing where he just spins, right? The bzzz, whatever, right. You spin the L stick and then you throw the hat, then it does do that.
But you got to be moving around in a small circle versus doing it from a stationary.
Yeah.
So you do have to give up some of your, you know, so especially, you know, one of the boss fights that he places, I'm trying not to be spoilery, but he puts debris on the field that can hurt you.
Yeah.
So it very limits your mobility to try to get that spinny thing to go.
Yeah, totally. Which
if you can pull it off, it cleans up the debris nicely.
Yeah, totally. And then if you can't do it, then yeah, like if you're playing in handheld, it's not great. And not only that, but the homing attack is another one that I don't even know.
Yeah, I don't even know if you can do it.
Which seems so silly, because would it really be that hard if you throw the hat why can't they just push Y again to do the homing attack? Right? It's not like pushing Y is going to, like, if I throw it once and then just push the throw button again to do the homing attack. Like, that seems silly that you can't do that.
Well, part of it is releasing Y starts the hat to come back to you. Because if you want to have it hover, you have to hold Y.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I guess that's true.
Yeah. And on the other hand, I mean, think about this with if you tried to play through just motion controls, there's no way to make the hat hover.
Oh yeah, that's true. So if you're going to do that, you need to.
But yeah, the homing attack, like that, that's like, I totally forget that exists all.
Yeah.
Because you can't do it with a button press. So like being able to use that, I don't even think about it.
Wait, so I did start the game with, you know, docked with the freeform Joy-Con. Then when I started playing handheld, I did like 90% of the game handheld. And then I did go to docked only because I was running out of battery and didn't want to stop playing. But when I switched to the docked mode again, I used the Pro Controller. Just because that was the control scheme I've been playing for the last 10, 15 hours. Mm-hmm. And didn't want to try to relearn the motion controls.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, like, I don't mind the motion controls, but they're just kind of...
They were handy. I enjoyed using them for the little I used them for. It's just, I still prefer the handheld mode.
Yeah.
Or using a controller. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do lose a little bit of what I can do. Like climbing up poles, it says you can shake the Joy-Con to go faster. I'm like, okay, I can shake my whole damn system to go faster, but that's a pain because now I'm looking like this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of a pain for sure, but it's I don't know. I feel I'm interested to hear Justin's take on this too, now that because he's been playing it for longer than we have.
Right, and now that he's able to talk about it, he's not here to do so.
See, yeah, exactly. And I'm probably going to be, which, by the way, I forgot to mention, Nintendo sent us a sweet care package on launch day, which was just awesome. So they sent this box that was like a question mark block, and it had the game in it, like copy of the game, and it had like a Mario hat, which was super cool. So huge thanks to Nintendo for that. But yeah, so I'm going to be putting up a review as well on our YouTube channel. Probably in the next few days, just kind of getting all of that, getting a second thing there, which will be interesting because I have seen so many 10s out there, 10 out of 10, which I think it's great for what it is, but I feel like, I don't know. I still have some soul searching to do. I'm not going to give it anything terrible. It's not a bad score, but I have soul searching. It's going to be interesting.
Well, yeah, if you know, even, you know, if you don't give it a 10, but it's still a good score, just you see the flaws in the game that other people either don't want to see or don't want to admit to see, and that's fine. That's mm-hmm. that's what you're supposed to be doing as a reviewer.
Yeah. So yeah. So I don't know, Marty. Do you have any other thoughts? Like I'm sorry that I crapped on your game. That you love so much.
Okay, Marty, you go. Then I want to close up this topic with something else.
Okay, and that's fine. No, I mean, I feel like I've said everything I could say about it. That, you know, I know there's people that are going to disagree with me that this is, but maybe what I need to do is I need to clarify my comments that for me, this is my game of the year, and that's a tough call because I loved Breath of the Wild. And I've sunken a lot of time into it, too. Probably, just being honest, more than I'll sink into Odyssey because I've progressed pretty far on Odyssey, just not even having it a week. So, like, I guess for me, it's my game of the year. What it comes down to is that Mario has always been higher on my list than Zelda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And I totally get that. Like I think it's going to be an interesting it's interesting to kind of look at. And like I've been thinking now, like having been on the other side of this, I am interested to see what are they going to do, like would you do DLC for this? Like I feel like it needs it actually. Like it legitimately needs to get DLC because We don't need to spoil anything about post game here, but I was a little bit like a lot of the reviews made it sound like, oh man, there's so much post game, and there is, and there's not. Like, I guess is the all I'll really say about that. You know, like there
most of the post game is just the stuff that you could have done if you wanted to, but you didn't want to yet.
Yeah, or I guess there's lots of post game, but there's not a lot of how do I say this? Like, this is I don't know if this is a spoiler or not. Probably is, but whatever. Spoiler alert for post game, real quick. I'm not going to say any content, but there is a lot of new stuff to do, but not a lot of new areas. If that makes sense. And so that was something that when they said, oh, there's a ton of post game, that doesn't mean there's a lot of new stuff to see. It means there's a lot of new stuff to do. So that, yeah. And I like for DLC, I want more stuff to see, because that is where this game really truly shines. And when I found out, oh, there isn't a whole bunch more stuff to see, the stuff that they do show you, I thought was amazing. Right, like some of the best stuff in the game, but also a little. Well, I think we'll have to do a spoiler cast in a couple of weeks, but yeah, that's
all right.
I would buy DLC in a heartbeat.
So I got a question, and if you think it's spoilery, we can just say, all right, we'll nix it. We can talk about it in a future week.
Sure.
But in the Discord chat, I saw a conversation going on about that you need so many moons to properly beat the game. Where it's possible to not have enough when you're ready to, but then you can't. I'm still a little bit confused on that. Do you know what that number is, and do you want to share it?
I'm comfortable sharing that. I don't know if you disagree, Marty, but I'd be comfortable.
No, go ahead.
I think it's 250. I would.
If that's the case, then I'm fine. I think because I think I have close to 270 right now.
Yeah. So there's a.
Again, spoiler alert here. I'm not going to mention specifically. There's another place after the 250 place.
Right. So yeah. So, but I would say, yeah. So you get there and you automatically unlock one thing, and then 250 you unlock the second thing, and then I think it's 500 you unlock the third one. I think something like that. Yeah. So that's
all right. So that's more the finishing the game. You know, not 100%ing it, just getting to credit roll. Sounds like you need the 250.
No, you don't need 250 for that.
Oh, okay.
No. So.
All right.
So you should basically, it's like a moon by moon, or a kingdom by kingdom thing, right? Like, if you get to the end boss, you can see the credits. That's how that works, right? But after the credits, then there's a bunch. Then you will immediately get one thing, and then after that, it's 250.
All right. Does the game tell you that, or does it just magically unlock?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
Yeah. It's the same as the rest of the game. It's pretty clear. Like, it'll tell you when you have to get more moons and stuff. Like, it's pretty clear. Okay. So
going back to what we talked about reviewing the game, that was apparently, so you're familiar with the Jimquisition, right?
Yep.
And, you know, he's overly critical, but of Nintendo. But still, he likes Nintendo games.
I think joy in trolling the Nintendo fan base.
He does. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Yeah, you know, it's what his fans wants him to do. But he does not dislike Nintendo as a flat blanket statement. But there was an image of a Metacritic screenshot that says the Jimquisition gave the game a 7 out of 10. And people went crazy about it, saying, oh, he just hates Nintendo. He's just trying to lower the overall score. And the funny thing is, he doesn't review games. Not anymore. Yeah, he did not write the review.
I saw his video where he was going through all of that. He hasn't
even played the game yet at that point.
I saw that video. Now,
obviously. He bought it on launch day. But, everyone's going crazy for a review that he didn't write about a game that he didn't play.
I love his video.
All
was hilarious.
Do 30 seconds of research to find out that no, that doesn't really exist.
Yeah. Yeah. That was funny.
Internet sanity lesson is do some research before you start whining.
Yeah. I watched that video. And
he was, 7 out of 10 is not a bad score, even
it's
if
really not.
He did want to give it to. But
I would say that as far as like other stuff with this game, like it's great. It's awesome. It's a must own. I think that for me as well, part of the like comparing this game to the Breath of the Wild, it just does this game a disservice. Like I think anybody who compared the two, I think it sets up an unreasonable expectation that, and that's not what this game is. This game never wanted to be the Breath of the Wild for Mario. It just wanted to be a really, really good Mario game.
Oh, do you know what I wish this thing did do? Let's be drop beacons.
Oh yeah, dude. Oh, are you kidding me? Yeah. Like I want to be able to freaking label some maps here because there's several like, oh, I don't know, maybe there's something.
So many times I just wanted to drop a beacon so I can see where the red beam leads me when I'm looking at the actual game, not just looking at the map.
Yeah.
But this game won't let me do that.
Totally. It's one of the best games for the Switch. Absolutely. So
yeah, someone else, I don't remember, it might have been Discord chats or so, said, I used Cappy too much and it broke. So I need to find another Cappy.
Wait, what?
Making a Breath of the Wild reference.
Weapons. Oh, can you imagine, dude? Oh, that'd be terrible.
That was me, by the way.
Oh,
that was you? Okay. I saw it over the weekend and laughed, but didn't even see who typed it.
Nice. Okay, so that is Mario Odyssey. We'll get more in here. I'm sure Justin is shaking his fist at his phone right now, listening to me besmirch his 11 out of 10, by the way. What nonsense is that, Masson? I call shenanigans on your 11 out of 10, but that's okay. any other games? So, like, other games that we've been playing this week?
I've been playing a game I can't talk about yet.
Okay. That's... and your impressions of said game will be coming...
Well, I can tell you that I'm playing Rime on the Switch, which is previously appeared on the PS4 and the Xbox One. I can't tell you what I think about it, though. That will appear on 2 weeks from now on episode 155.
Okay, so that is a game that we cannot give any information on, so look forward to our impressions of that in 2 weeks. I can talk about a game I played a little bit today. We got a code for Super Beat Sports, which is a game for the Switch that comes out tomorrow. By the time you're listening to this, if you're listening to the podcast version, you can go get it. It's $15 on the eShop. If you're paying the US, I think that probably makes it about 20 in Canada. And Super Beat Sports is a game by Harmonix, which is the rock band people, right? Is that right? At least
that's correct.
That development studio.
Yeah, sounds right. Yeah,
and I would say that this game is a mix between Rusty's Real Deal Baseball, Rhythm Heaven, and like Wii Sports sort of thing. And so it's really like my early impressions of this game. My biggest concern with it is like, what usually just sort of behind the scenes sort of stuff. Basically what happens is we get a code in, everybody's on our sort of like private Discord chat. The four of us are in there and we're like, hey, we got a code in. What do you guys think? And Justin usually like posts a trailer or something like that. And I'm like, hey, cool. Like watch the trailer. And I'm like, oh man, is this going to be one of those like multiplayer only games? Cause a lot of times for me, we get a code in and I'm like, I really don't have enough people to sit down and play with to really, you know, to actually get the full intended experience for multiplayer. And sometimes it falls to me to review a game like that. Right. And so I'm like, all right, Nick, like let's sit down and do this and whatever. But, much to my surprise, this game actually has a pretty considerable single player mode as well. And so there's five different modes here that you can play. There's Wacky Bat, Netball. Wacky Bat is like a batting cage sort of setup. Netball, which is volleyball. Gobble Golf. Buddy Ball, which is like a PvP competitive sort of. I actually want to compare it, like it's with baseball, but I actually want to compare it more to like racquetball, where you're like hitting it to the enemies across, and then your opponent who's playing against you hits it, and so it's like racquetball that way, where it's like back and forth, but you're both facing like enemies that you have to aim things at. And Rhythm Racket, which is actually one I haven't played, but it's really fun. Like it's like a rhythm, it's like a music rhythm sort of game. If you haven't played Rusty's Real Deal Baseball, that is actually the one that it's most similar to, but it's got a great multiplayer spin to it. And it's up to four players. And so my guess is that this game probably gets pretty crazy. I tried to play it with my son and he's seven, and that whole sort of like the timing base, like he's in music right now. And you know, they kind of do the thing where they're like clapping to the notes and like the rhythm and stuff like that. Right. Where it's like, mud turtle salamander, you know, like that sort of whatever, to learn the notes and the different rhythm.
To take the difference between an eighth note and a triplet and a 16th note.
Exactly.
Like that.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we use like Dr. Pepper Mountain in Pepsi.
Oh, really? Yeah. We always used animals when I was a kid, like salamander, bear, penguin. Yeah. Anyways, but yeah, that makes sense. So he had a little bit of a, but I was watching him and he was like, "Duh, this game's boring. It's boring." And then I was like, no, you just gotta get to it. Like, and there's a big focus too on, in the multiplayer mode too. It has similar to, like Rock Band or Guitar Hero, where you get the streaks, right? You get specific, or you get sort of like, back to back perfect things where you're hitting them head on like that. And really this, you know, the more I think about it, the more some of those hooks from Rock Band are in this game, where, you know, within a streak, you've got like, you hit the note exactly, you hit that beat, and you're going to get a longer streak, which is going to exponentially increase your points, which is really cool. But you're working on that together. And so me and him were playing, and we were both playing the batting game, for example. And I would hit it, and then it would go to them, and it'd come back to me, and I'd hit it again, and I'm building the streak, and then all of a sudden it's starting to go to him, and he just starts swinging his remote, because you can either push the button or you can use motion controls, and he just starts swinging his remote. I'm like, "No, you killed our streak. What are you doing? No, you have to be precise. You have to do this precisely." And he's like, oh, okay, and like trying to do that, but he's still kind of like getting used to it. But it was funny just to like, as soon as it started coming to him, he just starts spamming, you know, push this button a million times. I'm like, no, you got to be precise this way, buddy. Like, and he started learning that's what it was, he was starting to get it, and it was fun. So I think if you've got a kid that's maybe a little bit earlier or a little bit older than that, that's got that, like who's played rhythm games before, that understands it's like, it's about rhythm and precision and doing things to the beat, it's really fun. So for $15, my early impressions are, it's fun. And the thing is, like I was saying earlier, if you're playing multiplayer, they've got good multiplayer modes. If you're playing single player, they have actually taken the time to craft quite a few single player levels in the game as well. And so you can play, you know, you can, like I'm going into this one here, and that each tier has, so for example, this is in Wacky Bat. If you go, there are 9 tiers with 3 levels each on Wacky Bat, and then you can go into Pro Mode, which has another 9 tiers with 3 levels each, and that's just in one mode. So, and there's 5 modes. So, I'm pretty impressed with it. And this is a game that was not on my radar at all. So, Super Beat Sports. It should be out on the eShops November 2nd, which is tomorrow as of recording. So, yeah. Anything, do you guys have any questions, Marty? Like, I think this is a game that you'd love. Like, I know you do tons of those like local multiplayer party games, stuff like that. So,
yeah. So, I mean, how do you see the longevity of this game? I mean, is it going to be something like, I know you've not gotten a lot of time to test it, but
that is one thing.
Do you see it holding up, or do you see, like, is it just 5 modes and then you're done?
My big question with it is how difficult, like I've played some of tier 1 on each of them. I don't know how difficult it gets, and that's the one thing that I'm not sure about. Like if it's really easy all the way through, then it's, you know, it's not going to be any good. See, my son gets it from me, those weird fart noises. But if it's hard, then that's cool, and I'm looking forward to it. So I can't really speak to that yet. I will return back with more information. I will say that every time you beat a level, you there's like a little meter that goes up and you earn rewards as you go along. There are over 50 different customizable items to customize your avatar. So, for example, like different hats or outfits and different what I will call implements or weapons or whatever. So, like, because it's a rhythm game and you're hitting a ball or whatever, right now I can have like a baseball bat, a hockey stick, a golf club, an electric guitar, or a cricket bat. And like every time you kind of level up, so to speak, it doesn't actually say levels. It just kind of shows this little meter that continues to go up as you get points. But it unlocks a new item to customize your guy. So, yeah, that's the one thing that I'm not sure about though, Marty. I will report back next week because I have a feeling I'm going to be playing this single player, quite a bit. So.
Yeah. It doesn't sound like your son's going to join you.
Yeah.
This is boring.
Yeah. He says that about anything. The thing is that for him, it was difficult and therefore it was boring, right? Like it was something that he's not used to playing. Therefore he was just like, this is boring. I want to play something else. Because he didn't have that feeling of mastery yet on it. So anyway, Jesse, do you have anything that you want to talk about real quick before we jump into listener mail?
I haven't played anything else. Again, I, as I mentioned before, I did buy Monopoly and I also bought Jackpot Party Packs 4 and haven't had a chance to play those yet. I hope to do so this weekend and I can talk about them later.
Okay, cool. Right on. Well, let's head into some listener mail, shall we? Right, and the postman. It was brought to you by oneupbox.com. Oneupbox is, of course, our favorite geeky green box that shows up every month. And if you use the code Nintendo Dads, you'll get $3 off your first month, and it's a good time. And yeah, good times. So, Jesse, do you want to read this first one? It's a little bit long, but do you want to read this?
Sure. Hey guys, I want to thank everyone for your insight about things like time limits on electronics for kids and other parenting topics that have been discussed on the show. It has been really helpful for me and I'm sure a lot of other parents out there. I would love for that to continue, even if it means that Zach has to email the show himself. I don't know what you're talking about, not Zach.
No, it wasn't me. It wasn't me.
For another topic to discuss, how about anger management, both with video games and in life in general? I'm asking for a friend, of course, winky smiley face. What are some tips on how to manage anger within yourself as well as handling it when your kids get angry? If I'm being honest, I do struggle with anger management personally. With video games, I realize that I can't play games that are too difficult because I get frustrated easily. With things that come up in life that are frustrating like that, I usually try to remove myself from the situation if possible. That can be hard though if the situation is that I'm dealing with a kid that is throwing a fit. I'd like to know if Zach the therapist or any of the other Nintendo dads have any tips or suggestions. Thanks, keep up the good work. Ryan from Kansas City, Missouri. So my neighbor from across the river, apparently.
Nice.
Because I'm on the Kansas side.
Nice. Marty, are you back yet? Marty's not back yet. Okay. Because I'm interested.
I'm back.
Oh, no, you are. I'm back. Here. Marty, I'm interested on your take on this first. Being a, like, for those of you who don't know, like, I think, you know, between Marty and I think, not, and again, not to discount Justin and Jesse too, but Marty's got this cool sort of like minister, like, what's the official word, Marty? Your official title?
I am a student pastor.
A student pastor. All right. So really what we should be calling you is Father Marty. Is this right?
No, please don't call me that.
So I'm the uncle and he's the father. Is that how we're doing this? This is the game we're playing.
Okay. I'm just messing with you. Go ahead.
Nintendo Dad's family.
Yeah. Anyways, sorry. I'm interested in your take on this.
You'll probably find this interesting then. As a guy who struggles with temper problems as well, anger has always been, I'm very quick to get to get angry, and I sit in it for a while when I do. And so I have a problem with that. And mainly, that only comes out, with people that I know really well. If I don't know you really well, or, with my people here at my church or my students, then that doesn't come out as well. My wife is very keen to point that out, several times. I actually almost, broke a Wii remote in half once, playing Mario Kart Wii, I don't know if you remember Mario Kart Wii, how bad the rubber banding with the AI was.
Oh, it's terrible.
I was never able to beat 150cc on that. And I'm still to this day cannot do it. And that's what did it. Like, I was at the finish line and got double blue shelled. And it was like I'd been perfect all the way through. And I said, I'm done with it. But like in the moment that I did that, I looked over at and saw my son, my young son at the time, who and his reaction to that. And that's when I realized I've got to change the way that I deal with this. And I would love to tell you that I'd love to sit here and tell you, Ryan, that I figured it out. Here's the solution to it. But it sounds like I need to take a few pointers from you. You know, you saying that, you know, you have limited your time with these games that, you know, cause you to be angry, that you've made it where you can walk away. Those are very good solutions, to these things. But, you know, my mom said this when I was growing up, when I was playing games. She said, if it makes you that mad, then it's time for you to walk away from it.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, now as a parent, I think that's pretty solid advice.
Yeah.
You know, if it's making you mad and it's to the point that you're so upset with it that you're not enjoying it anymore, then it's time to turn it off.
Yeah.
Because that's not what a game is supposed to be about. A game is supposed to be about escapism. It's supposed to be about fun. It's a hobby that takes you to another place. It takes you out of your current situation, makes you forget about your problems for a little bit. Not increasing them, mm-hmm. not increases those problems.
Yeah, I would say I definitely like that is the take that I have with my kids for sure, right? Like my son will be like playing a game or and this isn't just like frustrating levels, but it's also every single time that they want to play Just Dance, and I want to be player one. No, I want to be player one, and there's like a brawl that ensues and I'm like, if this, like I've told them multiple times, like, this is here so that we can have fun together as a family, and if that's not what it's doing, then I'm turning it off. Right? Like or that, you know, if this is not a game that you're enjoying and I see that that's happening, either you need to figure out how you're going to deal with that, you need to calm down, you need to do this, you know, you need to change a game or whatever, or I will do it for you. And not necessarily me bringing the hammer down, but like, especially for younger kids, it's like, I see that you don't have the self-regulation, you know, the ability to handle your own emotions well enough, and I'll help you with that. So, and that's basically the understanding. And I've actually kind of, that's been my approach with my kids for a while now, especially with my son. And I start to notice, like even today, he was playing Super Beat Sports, and I was like, yeah, you know, just keep trying it. And he was like, okay, well, can I try single player? And he goes off and plays single player for a little bit. And then he's like, you know what, Dad, that game's too hard. I'm going to play Mario Odyssey instead. I was like, all right, cool, buddy. And so that was like, you know, a cool sort of like teaching moment of like, see, you don't have to play games that make you mad, buddy. It's fine. And he's like, okay, that's fine. So that I totally agree. That's a really good way to deal with that for sure. Any other, like, what about like other sort of takes on that? Any other thoughts, Marty?
I think with,
or just anger management in general, like what about, anger
well, I
general?
Was going to, I was really going to add this too, that I think it's so important that we as parents and especially dads model how we respond to situations and let our kids see that.
Mm-hmm.
And showing our kids by our own actions that there are things, yes, that it is okay to be angry about.
Yeah.
But there are also things that it's not okay to be angry about, or to get furious or out, you know, like just beside ourselves with, like a video game,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I think this is anything. It can be sports. It can be, you know, anything. Like one of my wife's earliest memories that she's told me before is that she remembers being a child and walking into the den of her home and seeing a grown man down on his hands and knees beating his fists on the floor because the Tennessee Volunteers were losing at college football.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And here's the thing, like as many people out there that get upset with video games, there's as many people who are out there that get upset with sports and with all kinds of other hobbies, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we as dads, we have to take the lead and show our kids how to respond. And that means that sometimes when we do lose our temper in inappropriate times and inappropriate places, that we take a time to pull our kids to the side and explain to them in kind of a, you know, an age appropriate way. Hey, Dad messed up. Mm-hmm. I got mad and I shouldn't have.
You know, that's such an important thing.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's and that I think is something that is so, like for me, like I think that's something that is so important is being willing to tell your kids, like, you know what, I got mad and it's not okay for me to act like that. One of the things that I think is important too, you know, kind of going from more of a psychology side too, is really if we get a good understanding of what anger really is, right? Like, and there's a big difference, like when we talk about getting mad, right? Like, I think it's really important to anytime we're talking about anything in psychology, you break it into three different parts. There's the thoughts or cognitions, right? So there's literally like the thoughts that are going through your head. And a lot of times those may not always be in like full sentences, but it's usually something like that that you could write as a full sentence. So there's the cognitions or the thoughts, there's your emotions or feelings, and then there is your behavior. And I think it's so important when you're talking specifically that you understand all three of those. And if you're really thinking like, man, I get so overwhelmed and I just get mad and then things blow up, take time and really think about and really reflect on what are those three things that, you know, so in an example, you know, like anger is an emotion, right? And so experience. So when we say we get mad, what do we mean by that? It's like, okay, well, you experience emotion. You experience the emotion of anger. And by the way, I actually, this is like total nerd therapist moment, but I have all of the like characters from like Inside Out. I have all those, like if I ever work with kids and I like pull these out, and it's actually a really good metaphor for teaching kids, like, okay, well, in that moment when you did that, what character, you know, what emotion was at the computer in your head, right? But anger, right? Like it's an emotion. And what I think is so important as well is, especially for kids, but for adults as well, frankly, is it's okay. Like experiencing the emotion of anger, there's nothing wrong with that. Right. And not only that, but experiencing the emotion of anger is not exactly, it's not something that you can even control, right? In a moment where something happens, experiencing anger, it just, your emotions just happen, and they happen because of how you're sort of interpreting the world around you and things like that. Now, your behavior, on the other hand, is something totally different. How you deal with that emotion is within your control, right? And whether you experiencing that anger and think, okay, well, now what do I do with that, right? What am I going to do with that anger? That is where the self-reflection goes, having good strategies and things like that. And it's also helpful as well. And this is basic sort of CBT sort of stuff, which is cognitive behavioral therapy. But also thinking in that moment, you know, if you kind of are looking back and thinking, oh, well, like what caused me to feel like that? Think as well, well, why did I feel like that? So, for example, let me just think of an example. I don't know. You see, you know, your brother-in-law comes over and he says something about video games. Now he thinks they're dumb. I don't know. So this is just an example I'm making up on the spot. but that makes you mad, right? And it's like, okay, well, that I get mad about that. Why does that make you mad? And really take the time to think about that, because he could say that about to somebody else and it wouldn't make a difference or whatever. But for some reason, it makes you really, really angry. A lot of times what that emotion and that reaction is rooted in is beliefs that we have about ourselves. Right. And so, for example, a lot of us feel like I'm not good enough, I'm not accepted, you know, things like that, insecurities. And then when something like that happens, it just triggers this reaction. Right. And so for us to really sort of take time to think about, well, how do I really treat myself? How do I think about myself? Am I taking care of myself? Another big thing with stress and emotions is that the stress response in our body, right? That fight or flight response. If you're stressed a lot at work, or, you know, you're not getting enough sleep, you're not eating as well as you could, that puts your body in more of a state where it's in survival mode. And if you imagine an animal, right, or any other animal that needs to survive, you will survive better if you have a more angry reaction, a more aggressive reaction to something. And so take time for yourself. You know, self-care is really important. Take time to relax and not just, you know, I think sometimes we treat video games like they're a way to, if you're playing certain kinds of video games, they can definitely help in being relaxing, but not all video games are like that. And sometimes we treat them as a distraction or a emotional, like a firewall, or like, you know, just sort of like we just numb ourselves instead of actually experiencing. And it's like you said, Marty, it's totally fine to experience, you know, like everybody gets mad and it's okay to feel anger, but it's not okay to punch the floor, right? Like, let's find some coping skills. Let's find some ways to calm down. One of the best ways to really help with that is a sort of mindfulness practice or meditation or prayer, whatever it is about that, taking time every day to calm your mind, to have some relaxation, some deep breathing, some connecting with a higher power or reflection or whatever you want to call it. Having that time to really, you know, to allow your body to process what's going on and to soothe yourself and calm down. Even if it literally is, you know, taking 5 minutes on your lunch break and going and like locking yourself in the bathroom and just doing some like deep breathing exercises can be enough over time to kind of train your body and your brain to self-regulate. And that's really what you're looking at. So, I don't know. Any thoughts on that, or Marty or Jesse, any? I talked for a long time, so.
I still have a story I want to share regarding this. When my kids were younger, I had a major anger issue. I actually had to take anger management classes. And basically, the overall problem was I would just keep everything bottled up, and I would then occasionally just explode when things got too big, and I was a danger to myself. Details. We don't need to go into that, but basically, you know, I was a mess earlier on, like, you know, 15, 20 years ago. But, so I did learn that, a lot of what he said, it's okay to feel it. You got to find a way to deal with it. And so you're not throwing a tantrum in the middle of a floor, but, where was I going with this?
Go ahead.
An example at work, actually, and your kids look up to you, but even in a work environment with peers, you got people that look up to you there as well. And that was a situation about a month ago where there was a problem. So the problem at work, people were, and I ended up being the one to kind of take the blame. I fell on my sword and I just got handed to me, a big major chew out. So internally, I'm angry and pissed off. This wasn't 100% my fault, but I'm taking the, stated what my opinions on things and my thoughts on how to get the problem resolved. And at the end, I had two of my peers say, "You handled that a hell of a lot better than I would have."
Yeah.
So ultimately you need to find an outlet that's safe. And once you know how to do it, afterwards, I did have to go outside and I took a 2-hour drive to calm down. So, because again, I still had that, I was still upset and needed some way to get it out. So you need to find some way to get it out if you are upset, but just, stay calm in the moment and then deal with it later, don't bottle it up, but properly deal with it at the earliest, safest convenience. And also I wanted to add that because of my previous anger management issues is why I don't like to play balls hard platformers. That's literally why I don't play those anymore, because I don't want it to have a snapback of what I was 15 years ago.
Wow, dude.
So I know what games call me. I know what games don't. And I like, Picross is a calming, is very calming for me. That's why I love that game. I play the hell out of those games. So I know what I like. I know what I don't like. And I don't push that boundary.
Yeah. Dude, I really appreciate you being willing to share that, because that is such a, I don't know, the therapist in me really appreciates the fact that Jesse is like the Hulk and he's always angry, there's all, it's just like the fact that there's something underneath that's everybody has that to a certain level, right? And the fact that you found successful ways to deal with that, I think is huge, and I think that's really, really beneficial. I had a thought somewhere.
I think there's a word there that's so important, and I know you might can speak to this a little bit more. And I feel like we're going long on this, but I feel like it's good.
Yeah.
That we're going long on this. Jesse, you used a word there that's so important, is boundaries.
Mm.
And I think this harkens back to Ryan's original intent for his question, talking about how he walked away. You said you know what games calm you and you know what games agitate you, and you steer clear of those. Just take games out of it for a minute. We as parents need firm boundaries set for ourselves so that we can teach our children how to set boundaries for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Until then, until they learn, we must set those boundaries for them. Like you were talking about earlier, Zach, where you were saying, if you're fighting over first player, then we're just going to turn it off.
Yeah.
That's a boundary. And I think that word is so important when you were talking about anger, because if anger is going to cause us to do or say or become a person that we don't want to be, then we've got to boundary that off so that we don't go into that place.
And I would say with that too, clarifying that by boundary it off, what we don't mean is bottle it up, right? What we mean, what we mean is know what your triggers are, right? And find and do some planning on how you're going to deal with that. I think if people are your triggers and getting angry at people, I would suggest going to Google and searching something like assertiveness skills. Learn how to be assertive. Jesse, it sounds like that's kind of what you're saying too, is let's deal with this issue before it blows up. Right.
Right.
And a part of that is learning how to be assertive and how to say something in a way where you're saying, and it's that almost stereotypical sort of way of I feel X when you Y, you're whatever, right? Like learning how to be, to address those issues before they come up. And instead of even saying, instead of saying, I'm going to turn this off if you guys don't stop fighting, it's okay, guys, how are we going to deal with this? You want to be first player? You want to be first player. What are we going to do? Maybe we can take turns, right? Helping problem solve those situations. For sure is huge. So any final thoughts on that before we move on to the next email, guys? I think that's gold. This is always fun when we get into this sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's not often that I get on the other side of the chair.
Yeah, it's good, man. Oh, it's gold. See, I live for this stuff. That makes me excited. So I think people always get weirded out when I'm like, oh man, we're going into Soul Search, and I like get all excited. That's what I do that every day now. I work as a therapist now, so and I get to do that every day. It's super fun. Right on. All right. Next email. I can read this one. This one's from B. Lugosi. Why does that name sound familiar?
Bela Lugosi played Dracula, I think, in the very first vampire movie.
Okay. Something tells me that's not this one.
Yeah, but I did think of the same thing.
Okay. That's fine. Okay.
Happy Halloween.
Says hi to all and sundry and Jesse. There you go.
I don't understand that, but okay.
I don't know. My favorite third party game on GameCube, along with Resident Evil 4, is Eternal Darkness Sanity's Requiem. I revere this game as much as I do Nintendo's AAA titles. To play it, I have to boot up the Wii and use my GameCube controller. I have long since given up on any hope of a sequel, but do you think this sublime game will ever come to Switch? Keep up the fine work. If you do, you'll always have my utmost approbation. First off, let's just say Eternal Darkness, Sanity's Requiem is one of the best. It was a Nintendo published game. Right, not Nintendo developed. That was Silicon Knights. But I think there's actually still a sequel to this in the works, or like a spiritual sequel from the original developers. It's been in development hell forever, but I think they're still trying to get that made. I think unless there is a GameCube virtual console, this game may have a hard time. I don't see them doing a remaster, I guess, right? I think it would be like a virtual console title or not at all. But I would play that again in a heartbeat. I would love that.
I would love to see a remastered version of this game, or just, I mean, let's go back and revisit the original idea. Let's, you know, reboot it, whatever you want to call it, a sequel, a continuation. I don't know. Such a out of the blue game for that time too. I remember playing it, you know, for the first time and, you know, reading about it leading up to it. And I think everybody knew it was going to be something special, but I don't think it did badly as far as sales. I don't understand why there hasn't ever been another one.
Yeah. Okay. So this is the sequel to this game, Shadow of the Eternals, is the title of this game. It's still loading here. What do we got? I don't know if this is, yeah. So this was like, it was a game that was a failed Kickstarter. This was a game, May 1st, 2017. There was a thing, apparently Shadow of the Eternals is still a thing, by Eternal Darkness creator. Yeah. So it's still, they're still trying to get it made. I would hope that they would put it on Switch.
So maybe if a Kickstarter failed, maybe it didn't have as much support as I thought it did.
Yeah. Well, I think
it's one of those cult following games, but not really wide markets.
Yeah. It's just weird. Like, you know, whenever anybody brings up a GameCube, like best GameCube games, it's always on the list.
Yeah.
Always. Like everybody puts it on the list, but it's not given that push. Like, Super Mario Sunshine or Luigi's Mansion or even some of the, you know, more third party games for the GameCube. So Rogue Squadron, things like that. Just to answer your question, I'd love to see it again, but I think Zach's right. Barring outside of GameCube virtual console, I don't think you're going to see a remaster or anything. You might see the sequel. It'll probably be via Kickstarter, but if it happens, but I think your best bet is pray and hope for a GameCube virtual console.
Yeah. And I would buy it in a heartbeat.
If the Kickstarter failed once, it probably won't be successful a second time if they try it, unless this does get a virtual console push to get people's interest back up. Mm-hmm. Then that would be a good time for them to try the Kickstarter again.
Yeah. I think part of the problem is that I think the Silicon Knights had a big sort of collapse, and a lot of people and then the Kickstarter came fairly shortly after that.
That's more, probably more, not a lot of confidence in the development team, yeah, more than the concept of the game.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I don't know. We'll see. But
I think I rented that game once and didn't click with me.
It's very Lovecraftian. It's a very, you know, it is, I don't even know what the right word is. Like, it's very, it's not really like it has adventure, like action parts in it, but it's not like a platformer. It's not fast paced. It's like, it's, I don't know. It is definitely like a horror game more than anything else.
Psychological.
Yeah. And well, and like the moment where like those sanity effects, the moment where the game tricked me into believing I had just deleted my save file, or I don't even think it said deleted my save file. I think it said something like formatted your save cartridge or something. So like it had wiped all the saves off my save cartridge. I was like, what? No, what? And it's like, and then it flashes and it's like, oh, and I actually like immediately saved the game and like turned my GameCube off and like went in, you know, you like go into the settings and like, it, like you take the disc out and it just shows you your save cartridge instead.
With all your save files. The options mode with the creepy music.
Yeah.
That is humorous if you understand what the music is.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. What was it? It's super slow version of
it. Of the Famicom disk system music.
That's right.
Bom 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 bada da dum dum dum.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
Like 16 times slow.
Yeah. So yeah, so that's I don't know, any other thoughts on that? I think that's definitely Shadow again, that thing is Shadow of the Eternals, I want to say. I closed the tab. I'm sorry. Anyway, final last question. Let's go into this. Dads, this is from Brandon. Dads, could you tell me how you feel current Nintendo would be different if Fire Emblem Awakening flopped? What would be different? How do you think current Nintendo would look? That's a really good question. I don't know. What do you think, Marty?
Was Fire Emblem Awakening that big a deal?
So Fire Emblem Awakening at the time, for those who aren't aware of this. So what happened was, around the time that Fire Emblem Awakening was being developed, they had had several games that were pretty mediocre. And, what happened was they said, okay, well, if Fire Emblem Awakening doesn't sell, then this is it. Like last ditch effort for the Fire Emblem franchise. And then it's done. And so they went all in, they went, you know, they poured like the,
probably the first of the most, the first significant use of that expression that is now like overly used is, you know, buy this game or it'll be the last one.
Yeah. And then that worked so well for Chibi Robo. RIP Chibi Robo. But yeah, so it's, so basically they poured all this stuff in and they like added the relationship mechanic. They had all of the support conversations. They added like, basically they brought in the whole waifu angle of Fire Emblem. They introduced that with Fire Emblem Awakening and it was a crazy success and basically spawned the modern Fire Emblem that we know today. It basically made Fire Emblem for the masses. And in my opinion, it's still the best Fire Emblem game that I've played. Like I like Fire Emblem Awakening much better than Fates or Echoes.
I think what you would see if Awakening had not succeeded is that you might, like Nintendo might recant on that and give you a Fire Emblem like maybe one more time. But I don't think that you would see like Fire Emblem has Awakening, I think, really pushed it to the forefront as one of Nintendo's new major player franchises. If you think about the fact that it used to be, you know, Mario, Zelda, Metroid, right?
Yep.
And now Nintendo is very well known for Fire Emblem, so much so that I don't think Fire Emblem Warriors would have happened without Fire Emblem Awakening.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think all of the different versions of Fates would have happened without Awakening.
Yeah.
And so,
and neither would mobile game. Right.
And right. Right.
Let me make a lot of people mad right now. I'll tell you what today would look like is that we would actually have an Advance Wars game. If Fire Emblem Awakening wasn't such a big deal.
Yeah, you know, other than that, I don't think anything else would really change.
I would like can we get in the Wayback Machine and go back then and make it fail then? Oh. I would really like an Advance Wars game. Yeah. I like Fire Emblem, don't get me wrong, but like Advance Wars is where it's at for me for tactical stuff on Nintendo systems. But hopefully Wargroove is gonna scratch that itch here pretty soon, or whenever it can. I think it's next year it's designed to come out. And think too that like not only did Fire Emblem Awakening save this franchise, but it also introduced characters which are now major player Nintendo characters, like Crom and Lucina and several other characters have now become extremely popular.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say up there with Mario, but they're up there.
Yep.
You know, they're recognizable characters that people genuinely care about, it seems now. So it had a pretty big impact. I guess I didn't really think about all the ways that it
right on. Holy
never
crap.
Finished it.
Yeah. It's good. Yeah, I like it.
I've never finished a Fire Emblem game.
Well, if there's anyone that I would recommend, it would definitely be that one to finish. It's fun. By the way, we are currently over 2 hours in, which I don't know. We've had lots of good talk today, but I think we're wrapping up. Any final thoughts before we wrap up the show tonight, guys?
Nah.
All right. All righty. Well, with that, Marty, as I'm queuing up the music here, do you want to tell people about Retro Rewind?
Oh yeah.
And that's, Extra Life. Just remind people.
You should have finished Metroid Prime by right now. Metroid Prime was our Retro Rewind game of the month for October. We'll be recording that episode very, very soon. We're also toying around with the idea of doing a complete Mario Odyssey spoiler cast as an extra bonus episode. If you would like that, hit us up on Twitter and Facebook. Let us know if you would enjoy hearing us talk about Mario Odyssey spoilers, just laying it all out there and talking about whatever and you know, the game from beginning to end. I think we did quite a bit of talk about it tonight, but would definitely love to talk over the end game with you guys and Justin as well, if he can be a part of that. And then, of course, Extra Life is coming up. We will be putting up the new style Retro Rewind. Can we call it that? Can we call it the new Galaxy Edition Retro Rewind?
New. We'll just call it New Retro Rewind.
Yeah, we're going to be putting up the new Retro Rewind poll within the next couple of days. Again, Retro Rewind's changing. We will nominate two games for you to vote and fight it out in a Splatfest-style type voting until one of is declared the winner, and that's the games the game that we play for the next month, and that's going to happen with November's game, which is coming up here very soon. Extra Life is coming up. We already talked about that at the top of the show, but be watching our Twitter feed for lots of that. That's all I got, Justin. I called you Justin.
That's okay. That's totally fine.
It's okay. We miss him. When he's not here, we miss him. We have a sads.
Yeah, we do. I have a sads for him. Absolutely. All right. Well, for everybody, thank you to everyone for listening to the show this week. Appreciate everyone who comes out to listen. Of course, if you want to follow us on all of the social medias, you can do so on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at Nintendo Dads. If you want to email us, you can do so at nintendodads@gmail.com. If you want to watch our videos and see our faces, why wouldn't you? You can look us up on Twitch and YouTube and search for Nintendo Dads. You will find us. If you want to call in and leave us a voicemail, you can do so 929-25-NDADS. That's 929-256-3237. Huge thanks to OC Remix for our music throughout the show, as well as to both Carter Johnson and Adam Leonard for our amazing artwork. And of course, if you want to change the world, go to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review. Written reviews are the best of the best. We should read those iTunes reviews sometime soon, because we got a bunch of new ones, and you guys are amazing. Finally, if you want to subscribe to the show, you can do so on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and of course, VGTribune.com. For me, for Jesse, for Marty, and for the French-bound Justin, we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Au revoir.
Thank you for listening to Nintendo Dads.
I forgot how to say goodbye in French, and I couldn't pull that out that quick. So,
you're welcome.
Nice work.
Yeah. Oh, you also didn't throw a Wobble Puffet in there.
Oh yeah, sorry.
Wobble Puffet? Wobble Buffet?
There we go.